Begin the current daven sechtes chulin daf kuf chafalf. Begin on the second line down for the top of the yom. But the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our opening mission of this parak ha'irva reitiv, which discusses different elements that they themselves are not considered eichlim food items to be makabel tumah. However, they could be secondary. They could combine together with the food item to be mitzdar for the shear of kebeya, the size of an egg, which is the minimum measurement of the makabel tumah. So one of the items mentioned was v'ha'alal. Says the Gemara, my alal. So Rabbi Yechanan, he says it's martika, which refers to the tendon of the spine by the neck, which is wide and white, and it's very hard. So that's not something that in itself is a food item, but together with the food item, with the meat, then it could combine for the share of a kebeya. For Shlokasham, he says it's basa shepotase sakin. It's talking about when they would flay, when they would skin the animal. So sometimes the knife would cut into the flesh, which is near the skin, and that would get stuck onto the hide. That's not considered so significant. That's something that in itself is not considered the eichel, the food item itself, but it would combine, which later on the Gemara is going to explain, how do you have a situation where it's sufficient enough to be considered a food item to combine, but by it itself, it wouldn't be considered significant to be mekabel tumah. Now, the Gemara asks on this last interpretation of Rish Lakish Meisvei, from a pasuk in Iyuv. Iyuv is telling his friends, V'ulam atem toifle sheker, that you're people that put together false words. Reife el kulchem, you have medicinal therapeutic elements that you're saying that it's for me, that it's healthy and helpful, but it's not. And that's what Reife Elil, which is the same word as Elil, that you're all just false therapies. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlem Elamandam Amartika, we understand according to Rabbi Yechanan that says Elil refers to this Martika, this tendon by the neck. Hainu Delav Barafuhu. That makes sense, the terminology that Eve was using, because the Martika, that tendon, when it rips, when it breaks, there's no way to connect it and to heal it ever again. So it makes sense to call that what is his metaphor of Reife Elil Kulchem. You're like the healing of the Elil, which never heals. Elamandam abasa shabaltasi sakam, but according to Rish Lakish, I said it refers to the flesh that gets detached with the knife when the animal is being flayed. So barufuhu, what do you mean? That's something that could be healed. When you have flesh that gets pulled off from a living creature, sometimes you could attach it into its place and it connects and then it heals over. So why would Eve be using that as a terminology of as something that's never going to be healing? But according to Rish Lakish, that all could be healed. Says the Gemara, you're right, but all the kra, the kulamali plegi. Regarding what the pasuk in the verses refers to, there no one's going to disagree. It's going to be like Rabbi Yechanan that refers to martika. Ki plegi ba'ol de masnitin. But regarding mishneik terminology in literature, that's their machlekes. Is does all mean martika or no? In this context, does all mean basa shabal tasi sakin? So the Gemara continues and says, Tashma, let's bring a rai like Rish Lakish from our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Omer, at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda disagrees on something that the Chacham, the Tanakama of our Mishnah said, and he says, Ha'ol ha'makunas, if you have this ol, which is gathered together in one place, im yesh kezayis b'makam echad chayam lav, if there's an olive size of it in one place, then one would be liable and it would be considered like the nevela, like the dead animal itself, whether for someone who ate it or whether someone who touched it and then went into the Beis HaMikdash, where he disagrees with the Tanakama of our Mishnah who said that, you know, ol could be considered to be mitzdarif for Tumas Eichlin, but it doesn't have Tumas in the Velas. Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, if the Ol was gathered together, you have an olive-sized flesh in one place, then it's like the Vela itself, and it would have the Alachas of Tumas Nevela. Now, V'am Rav Huna, and he qualified this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, V'husha Kansu, but this is only if the person himself gathered the flesh together, where he did what's called Achshave. He made it significant, where he revealed his intention that he never had nullified that flesh at all, and so it's considered like bona fide flesh of a Nevela. But let's say if it got gathered by itself, or let's say children were unintentionally, then you're right, Rabbi Huda wouldn't disagree and say it's considered nevela. It's only if he gathered it together. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlem Elamandama, we understand according to the one who says, Rish Lakish, that this all is bas shabaltasei sakin, referring to flesh, which when the animal's being skinned, some of the flesh gets attached to it. And then we could understand the opinion of Rabbi Huda that when there's an olive size of it, that one would be liable, because you could say that since he gathered it together, he made it considered, he deemed it significant, so it goes back to its status. He revealed his intention that he never nullified in the first place, and it's considered like a bona fide piece of nevela meat. But Elamanda Mamartika, but according to Rabbi Yechon, it says it's Martika, Kiki Gizais Mahava. Who cares that the olive size of that tendon? Eitz ba'amahu. It's like a piece of wood. It's not flesh. How could you say it's considered nevela? For Thomas Eichlin, like the Tanakhama says, to be mitzvah for Thomas Eichlin, we understand that's considered secondary, so we could view that as a tzirf, like all those other elements which are not like the meat itself. But regarding to say that it has tumas nevelas, what does it help that you have a kesayis of it in one place? So says the Gemara, you're right. Aliba de Yehuda le pligi. According to Yehuda, no one disagrees, because obviously Rabbi Yehuda is talking about, when he's referring to this olol, he's referring to the flesh that gets stuck onto the skin when it's being skinned, when it's being flayed. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees that basa shabotase sakin is called olol, as you see from the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But this that they disagree, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that olol refers to martika, is ki pligi aliba de Rabbanan. Their whole dispute was in the Tanakhama, the Rabban of our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yechonah Amar, Martika Nami Mitzdarf. Rabbi Yechonah holds that Martika also combines for Thomas Eichlin, because he says that Martika, just like we find the Pasig, is also called Ol. And when our Mishnah talks about Ol, that says it's going to combine, is talking about all types of Ol that it's going to combine. Where, but by itself, it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. And therefore it refers to both Basir, that Shepotasi Sakin, and also to the Martika, according to Rabbi Yechonah. That's what Tanakam was saying, that it itself is not considered significant, but it will be mitzvah for Thomas Eichel. And that's Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, according to Rabbi Yechonon, that, no, he tells the Tanakama, the ol of Martika, I agree to you, that, yeah, that's not considered meat by itself, like we said, it's obvious in what Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say, so it's not going to be considered a nevela, but regarding basa shabatase sakin, that's Rabbi Yehuda comes to disagree, he says, no, if the person subsequently goes and gathers an olive size of it in one place, he's revealed his intention that he never nullified in the first place, and that's considered like bona fide meat of nevela, and will become Thomas nevela. That's what Rabbi Yechonon holds. For Shlaka Shammai says, no, Davka Basa Shabbatase Sakin. He says, no, everyone, even the Rabbanan, hold that the halacha of being Tamei is only going to be meat that was flayed by the knife of a Martika Le Mitzdarf, but Martika is not even going to have the halacha of Tzir for Tumas Eichlin because it's like a piece of wood. And therefore, Rish Lakish was even in the Rabbanan saying that, no, the Martika is not significant at all and it won't even have Tumas Eichlin. Now the Gemara asks, "Hai basa shabatase sakin hechadam." Seven agrees, like in Rabbi Yehuda, Machlekes is regarding if that's in Rabbanan only the case, but Seven agrees to this halacha of the meat that was flayed by the knife, that it's going to have halacha of being mitzvah for Thomas Eichlin. And again, Rabbi Yehuda goes even further and he says that it could even have the halacha of Thomas Nevela itself. But what's the case? As the Gemara explains the question. If the person went and thought about it and he says he wants this, so even subsequently, then even by itself, it should have Tumas Eichlin, because the halacha is that a thought process can make anything into a food item as long as it's something that is eaten, even though it's not the norm to be eaten. As the Gemara said earlier on the Vayin Zayin Mabez and Perek Behema Makasha, that regarding the skin of an animal that was stewed and cooked very much, or the shilya, the amniotic sac, which someone had thought about that he wants to eat, will have Tumas Eichlin, because although it's not regular, but it could be eaten, and then that person's thought process that he wants to will make it into Tumas Eichlin. Now, although it cannot subsequently then make it back into Basar to make it into Tumas Nevelas, because it already had become skin by the first time that it was nullified, because that's where Rabbanan hold that it whatever got stuck under the skin, okay, it's considered like skin itself. But to make it into a food item, to have Tumas Eichlin, let's say in regards to the touches of sherets, that's not any worse than skin itself, which was cooked and stewed, which then becomes into a food item. So the question is, so what are we talking about with this Basa Shabbatase Sakin? If he's thinking about it, that he wants it, so then even by itself it should be Mekabel Tumas Eichlin. And it doesn't have to have Tziruv to only be combined with food items for Tumas Eichlin. And v'idolei chashav alav, if he didn't think about it, so betuli batli, so then it's already nullified with the skin that it was taken off with. So how do we understand this middle ground that we're describing in the Mishnah, that Ibn agrees that this olol is mitzdarf in the case of basa that got shepoltasi sakin, why is it in this middle state of only being mitzdarf and not either having even itself or not having any tumas eichel? So Rebav and Rebmiyasha, they both gave two similar interpretations for this halacha. One says that the case we're talking about is that, yeah, he thought about it, but he only thought about part of it, and he didn't define which part of it. So therefore, itself to have the shear of a kebaya, if it lets it the size of an egg itself, it's not going to be kabel tum because he didn't think about all of it being used for eating purposes. But when it combines with other food items, then that little bit that he did think about that he wants to use will complete and supplement the measurement because only part of it is yes and part of it is not. Chadama once says similarly is that miktasei poltasei chaya. We're talking about that, yeah, part of this meat of the animal got stuck onto the skin. How? Part of it was because a dog, an animal, had bit the animal. So some of the flesh had got stuck and pulled off onto the skin. Then it was slaughtered. Umiktasei poltasei sakin. And then some of it got pulled off to the skin, to get stuck under the skin, through the knife. Now, it's not known which one was made it get stuck into the skin by the wild animal, which one was done by the knife. Now, the part that was pulled off by the animal, that is not nullified just like that, because that wasn't done by the person, and the person's not nullifying it. Whereas that which was done by the knife, so the person had done it with the knife, so he realized what he's doing, and he's leaving over there. Now, all of this is done unconsciously, but since together with other food items, we're going to say that which was done by the wild animal, that will combine. Now, that which was done by the knife will not be. So since not all of it, it itself cannot be the share of a kebaya, but since some of it is done by the chaya, that will combine with other food items to be the share of a kebaya. Now, but this is all regarding the tumah, as we're talking about in our Mishnah, of food items. But the tumah of nevelas, that will not be applicable, because although that it's being done by the chaya, by the wild animal, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva, who, as we'll quote on the next daf, he says that the skin nullifies the meat from being considered meat from having the tumah of nevelas, even if it was done by a wild animal. And therefore, as we said in the Mishnah, the Rabban are only saying that this olal, which we're explaining now why it's in this middle ground of being mitzdarf, but it doesn't have its own or not having at all, because it's like this quasi type of situation where part of it is being thought about being eaten and part of it not, and therefore it's going to be mitzdarf. But again, that's only regarding tumas eichem, but tumas nevelas, as we'll see, that's like Rabbi Kiva, who says it's not going to have the halacha of tumas nevelas. Now, relating to these halachas, the Gemara says tznan hasim. We learned that within the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus, which talks about the nevela of a kosher bird. The nevela of a kosher bird is unique in that it doesn't have its own tumah. It only has it when it's in the throat of the person who's swallowing it. However, it could be susceptible to tumah as any tumas eichel. Now, says the Mishnah over the hachartim, the beak of the bird, vatzarpenayim, or the nails, the claws, mitamin. That is, if the bird is importing tumah from something else, let's say from in contact from a sheretz, so what the Mishnah there is saying is that these elements could be considered as a yad, as a handle to import tumah, or umetamin. They could also export tumah from the bird to something else. Now, like we said, a bird that it doesn't have its own tumas maga of touch, of importing, exporting as nevela, unless it first received that tumah from something else. Because like we said, the only tumah that there is by tumas nevelas is when someone's eating it when it's in his throat. That's the only time it's going to have this, the halacha of nevela. But when we're saying regarding importing, exporting, that would be if it got tumah from a sheretz from something else. And says the Mishnah Mitztarfin, these elements, the claws, the beak, they combine for the share of tumas eichel. They themselves are not eichel, but there will be enough of that element to combine. On that is the Gemara Chartim, the beak, eats ba'amu, it's a piece of wood. How does it combine for the share? Well, it could be a handle, but how could it be mitzvah for the share of tumas eichel? Amar Balazi says, b'chartim tachtim, we're talking about the lower beak. Says the Gemara, tachtim nami eats ba'amu, what do you mean the lower beak is also like a piece of wood? It's not flesh that's eaten. Amar Papa says, no, it's tachtim shel elyon. It's the bottom of the upper beak, where there's this thin strip that there's in the mouth, which is attached to the upper beak along its length. That's like flesh. It's not totally, but it's somewhere in the middle, and therefore it could be mitzdarv for the share of tumas eichel. Now, says the Gemara, and tzipranayim, this that we said regarding the claws, where is that considered like a food item that, like at least it could be mitzdarv for the share of tumas eichel? Amar Belazi says, makam hamavloim bebasit. It's the place where it's absorbed in the flesh, meaning the roots of the claws. That's, again, somewhere in the middle, and therefore it could be mitzdarv for tumas eichel. Now, similar discussion we had in the Mishnah that said karnayim, the horns, they could also have this halacha be mitzdarf for tumas avaychlin. Now, Amra Papa, here he says similarly, that horns, who eats horns, is b'makam shechaitchen v'yetzim en dam. It's a place where you cut and blood would come out. That's not hard like the horn itself. That's still somewhat of fleshiness, and therefore it's mitzvah for the share of Tumas Eichel. Now, up until now, we're all talking about this one idea regarding differentiation regarding Tumas Eichel and Tumas Nevelis in the context of what's considered being mitzvah for the share of Tumah. Then the Mishnah moves on to a different halacha, but similar in this differentiation. Kayetzebe says the Mishnah, Hashechet Behema. Someone slaughters a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. Now, we already explained this previously in Daf Kovid Zayin and Beis, where the halacha is talking specifically that since a Jew, if he would slaughter a kosher animal, his slaughtering would make it into a food item, even when the animal is what's called mefaches, is shaking around in the throes of death, because the shechita already makes it permitted. So for the Jew, it's permitted because a Jew's consumption is dependent on slaughtering. So here also, since the Jew is slaughtering and it's considered a bona fide slaughtering, even though he's slaughtering a non-kosher animal, which doesn't have application of slaughtering, and moreover, for a non-Jew, his consumption of an animal is not permitted until the animal actually dies, because when it's still in the throes of death, it's considered eva menachai, it's considered a limb from a living animal. Even so, that's what the halacha of our Mishnah is saying, and that's the differentiation it makes again between Eichlin and Nevela, that it would help the thought process of a Jew to feed this to the non-Jew to make it considered a food item, even though it's still mefachasas, even though it's still in the throes of death, which generally that would be problematic for the non-Jew. In this element that we considered, that is considered like an Eichlin, meaning to have the tumas of Eichlin. Now, for sure, regarding a kosher animal, where that makes it totally permitted to be eaten, even though it's in the throes of death. Now, although there's a halacha that says it's forbidden to eat from an animal before its soul departs it, so you see that when it's mefachesis, it's also, that's a rabbinic law, but biblically, right when the slaughtering happens, it's already permitted to be eaten. Now, so too, there's an inverse halacha by a non-Jew who slaughters a kosher animal. A brisa tells us later on, has the same halacha. Since it's a kosher animal, we find that there's a permissibility regarding a kosher animal when it's even in the throes of death, when a Jew slaughters it. Now also, even when a non-Jew slaughters it, it's going to be considered already at that point, already a food item to have the tumas eichlin to contract when it comes in contact with a sheretz. Where if then subsequently it touches other food items before it even died and became a nevela, it will still transmit tumah to those other things simply because of tumas eichlin, because it's considered already a food item. Now, however, a Jew by a kosher animal doesn't need any thought process to go ahead, as we'll shortly quote, that there is an opinion that holds it needs a machshava, these cases that we just described. But regarding when a Jew slaughters, then it doesn't need to have a machshava, it automatically becomes a food item. And the opposite extreme, a non-Jew by a non-kosher animal, doesn't even help a thought process when it's still in the throes of death to go ahead and make it susceptible to food tumah, because we don't find any permissibility whatsoever of shechita by a non-kosher animal being done by a non-Jew. But regarding these two cases that we described, regarding a Jew who slaughters a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, or a non-Jew slaughtering a kosher animal, that will go ahead and make it this middle halacha that it's going to be considered already an eichel, because generally shechita would go ahead and make it permissible, that it's going to go ahead and make it at least susceptible to tumas eichel. Now, Amar Basi says, Shainim, there are tanoim who learned this halacha that we said in the Mishnah, that it requires certain prerequisites. That is, regarding these two cases of Yisrael, B'tzimeya, when a Jew slaughters a non-kosher animal, or V'ayvik Kachav Matayra, or a non-Jew slaughtering a kosher animal, that two things. First of all, Tzrichin Machshava, that they say that, no, it needs to have a thought process that it's being fed to a non-Jew. Because if the Jew slaughtering, if he didn't have a mind, then it's not going to be considered a food item until the animal actually dies. That's first of all. And additionally, they hold v'hechshamayim imokam acher. It needs to become susceptible to this tumah eichlin that we're just talking about in the Mishnah by having contact of a liquid like water from elsewhere. Because the blood of the slaughtering itself will not make this animal susceptible to tumah. Now the reason for this is because the only type of liquid that's considered dam, to be considered a liquid to make it susceptible to tumah, is the blood of a what's called dam chalalim, of a slain animal. As the Gemara says, Perek HaShechet, early Daf Lamed Hei Beis. And here wasn't slain, it was slaughtered. Now, although regarding a regular animal that was slaughtered, appropriate slaughtering, it actually makes the animal susceptible to tumah because that blood is actually compared to water. As the Pasuk says, Al Earth Tishbechenu Kamayim, as the Gemara says within Perek HaShechet. But what we're saying over here, when the non-Jew slaughters, it's neither dam chalalim, And it's not dam shechita. It's not dam shechita because his slaughtering is not a bona fide slaughtering, obviously. An animal has to be slaughtered by a Jew. And moreover, it's not like dam chalalim. Rather, it's like the blood of the wound of an animal or the blood of a dead animal. Because to be considered a chal, a slain animal, has to be done when it's chopped from its neck and not like slaughtered by its throat, as the Gemara says in Masechta Saita, quoting from a pasuk. And therefore, here it's not dam chalalim because it wasn't slain, but neither is it dam of shechita because it wasn't appropriate slaughtering. And therefore, it would need heksher not through the blood itself, but rather from something else. That is the Gemara, but heksher, even if you're going to say that, okay, the blood itself cannot be qualified when the non-Jew is doing it, or the Jew for the non-Jew, because ultimately it's not a kosher slaughtering, it's being done in a non-kosher animal. Why does it need, however, a heksher from somewhere else? Heksher lamali, why does it need to become susceptible to tumah from a liquid elsewhere? But it shouldn't need any heksher, even though it's not working through its own blood. Because Saifa Litama Tumachamura, this is a type of entity that ultimately would end up having a stringent type of a tumma, because ultimately, when the animal dies, it's going to contaminate a person or a vessel, even the size of an olive, and even if it's not even touched, even if it's just masa, even though it's just carried as an animal that's in the veil, which it's in the throes of death now. This is the unique case we're talking about. When it ultimately dies and expires in a few minutes, it's going to be in the veil. And it's going to end up contaminating not just Tumas Eichon that we're describing right now, because we're saying it's like a food item already, because there is an element of slaughtering over here. It's going to be nevela. V'cholsha seva l'tama tuma chamura. And anything that ultimately would end up contaminating a severe level of tuma, loy boy heksher, does not have to become susceptible to this tuma of Eichon. It has it already. Why? Because the Tani Deber Bishmal, it's torn in the Bais of Shiri Bishmal, the Pasig in the Yukra, that's where the source of teaches us that for Tumas Eichon, something has to become susceptible by coming in contact with one of the seven types of liquids. It says, V'chayutin mayim azer, that if water is going to be placed on the seed, that's what the Pasig says, oh, now it's already vulnerable, now it can become Tumas Eichon from a sheretz. But says the Bais, it says alzera. Now, it's comparing and saying, Mazroim she'ein seif on the tamah tumah chamura, just like seeds, which ultimately, meaning food items, will never have a severe level of tumah, meaning a food item never becomes an avatumah, even if it touches a dead person, which is a navi avais, a grandfather, which generally when it touches the next thing, it makes that next thing into av. The food item never becomes an av to then have the capacity to metame adam v'kelim, which only become tummy from an avatumah. Because where do we learn that this halacha, that whatever touches a dead person, then that thing is an av and could be metame a person? It's from the pasuk b'midbar yotes. It says, whatever touches the dead will become tummy. And it says that the soul that touches it will become tummy from touching that person up until the evening. Now, this pasuk is talking about something that can be purified by being sprayed with the paraduma ashes and by immersing in the mikvah. Because that's what the pasuk says over there. Earlier it says, v'hiza tarla tummy, that they get sprayed with the ashes of paraduma. Now, it's on that tumma that says, and whoever touches that person, that touches that person, becomes tummy. That excludes food items, beverages, earthenware vessels, because they cannot be purified in immersion in the mikvah, so therefore they never become an avat tumah. So that's where the halacha is, trichin echshar, that's where you have to become susceptible to tumah. Af kol she'in seifa l'tamah tumah chamura, tzaruch echshar, that tells us, yeah, whatever's not going to end up having tumah chamura, that needs to become susceptible. But in this case, where it's going to become an avela, it's going to be tumah chamura, it doesn't need echshar mekabel tumah for tumah seichel. Moreover, v'tanya, so too we learn in the b'raisa, the Rama B'Yisi, he says, Menema Amru. Why did they say that, regarding this Mishnah Masechtas Tahiris, which talks about 13 unique things that apply to a kosher bird, and this is one of them, that Nevelas Eftar Tzricha Machshava, the Nevela, the carcass of a kosher bird that wasn't properly slaughtered, needs to have a thought for it to be susceptible to Tumas Eichon when it comes in contact with a sheretz, with one of the eight dead vermin, where if he didn't think about it that it should be eaten by a non-Jew, it's not going to be susceptible to Tumah, and if then it subsequently touches other food items, it's not going to make it tummy. And however, ve'in etzricha heksher. But it doesn't need to become susceptible, it doesn't have to come in contact with one of the seven liquids. What's the reason for this halacha? So Rabbi Yisi, because as we continue to mebeis, she'seifu l'tama tuma chamura, because ultimately, this dead bird is going to contaminate in a severe way of tumma, where it could even contaminate a person and garments. How so? When a person eats it, when it's in his throat. So therefore, says Rabbi Yisi, that's why it doesn't need heksher lekabel tumma, because we learned it from Zeraim that only when it's something that's not going to have tumma chamura like Zeraim, then it needs heksher. But if it's going to be make a tumma chamura, then it doesn't need heksher, and that's the Gemara's question. So then, why are we saying here that it needs heksher now? So why does it actually need a machshava for it to be considered that it's being done for that purpose to be mekabel the tumah? It's simply because generally dead birds are not usually eaten, as the Mishnah in Uksum explains. Meaning we're talking about in villages where they don't usually eat those types of dead birds, but in cities, the Mishnah Uksum says that you're right over there. You wouldn't need a machshava because generally the non-Jews are in those cities, they're going to eat those dead birds. And then you're right, you wouldn't even need to have a machshava. But one thing is, at least from the other halacha, that it doesn't need hechsher, you see, because mitama tuma chamur, it doesn't need hechsher. So what's this that he's saying that regarding these tanoim they hold in the halacha of our Mishnah that it needs hechsher, why does it need hechsher? It's going to have a tuma chamur. So Mechizkiah, he says that the case of the Mishnah is different. Because since we're talking about it's merfacheses, it's in the throes of death, so at this point in time yet, it definitely doesn't have the tumah chamur yet. It's not in the veil yet. And moreover, the end also, maybe it's not going to come to tumah chamur. It's not a definite that it's going to lovi l'day tumah chamur. Why? Ha'il v'yachal l'garur, since you go ahead and peel away, ulamida pachas mikazayis, technically, in concept, in theory, each piece, you could go ahead and pull it off, that it's going to be less than the size of a kazayis, until you flay the whole thing. And until you pull off the whole thing, and then it's never going to end up coming to Tumah Nevelah, because the minimum of Tumah Nevelah is the size of a kezayis. Now, in contrast to that halacha in the Mishnah we were told about with Reb Yesi, the Nevelah of a kosher bird, it's already dead. It already has the capacity of Tumah Chamura right now if someone put it in his throat. But here, maybe it's never going to have the Tumah of Nevelah, and if it's not Soifa Latama Tumah Chamura, because could be you'll pull off piece by piece when it's in the throes of death, less than the kazayis, and it's never going to come to Tumah Nevelah, and therefore it needs a heksher of mayim or some other liquid from somewhere else to become susceptible to Tumah. Now, however, on this answer of Chizkiah, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeir, it says, Umiyam Chizkiah Hachi? Did Chizkiah really say this answer, this approach, where obviously you see that Chizkiah holds of this halacha, the Mishnah, that there is no Tumah of Nevelah when it's Mefacheses? He was even saying further, he's saying, not only does Mefacheses not have a Tumah Nevelah, but it's not even necessarily that it's going to be safe for the Tumah of Nevelah, because you could even pull off less than the Kazayas of a piece, and by the time it's dead, you don't have a Tumah Nevelah. But obviously, he agrees to the concept that, for sure, when it's Mefacheses itself, it's not Tumah as Nevelah, we don't consider it as dead, but that has the Gemara, but Vayidmar, but we learned the Fa'ang Machloikis. Shachet Ba, if someone slaughters by a non-kosher animal, shnayim or reiv shnayim, both of the pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe, or the majority of the two pipes, v'adayin hi mefacheses, and it's still in the throes of death, it hasn't yet totally expired, so Chizkiah amar ein aleivar, he says that there's no prohibition for a non-Jew to eat these pieces of animal as if it's like a limb from a living thing. Meaning we don't consider this as living anymore. Now, for sure, regarding a kosher animal, because since for a Jew would be permitted, there's nothing that for a Jew is permitted and for a non-Jew is going to be prohibited. And even Rabbi Yechon would agree, who is his disputant by a kosher animal. But Rabbi Yechon, he disagrees regarding this non-kosher animal. He says, no, yeshna levam, that it still can be considered a prohibition for a non-Jew as evam and achai, as if it's still alive, because it hasn't yet totally expired yet. Now, Chizkiah ein levam, he says, no problem of evam and achai, because mesahi, it's dead. Rabbi Yechon Amar Yeshna Levarmi says, no, there is a problem with Mechai, because La Mesi, it's not dead, it hasn't yet totally expired. But one thing we see is that Chizkiah holds that it's dead, and that's why there's no Ibn Mechai. So if it's dead, so then it's a Nevela. So if it's a Nevela, so how are you saying that this Mefacheses is not going to have Tumah Chamura? Right now it's Tumah Chamura, right now it's a Nevela. So on that Amalei, Rabbi Zeir said to him, no. Chizkiah agrees that when it's Mefacheses, it's not going to have Tumah of Nevela. Now, although he's saying that it's permitted for a non-Jew, is because it's this middle stage of yatzas machlal chaya. It's not living anymore, so it's not even minachai, it's not a limb from a living animal, but it has not come into the category of dead. And by the Tumah of Nevelah, it says v'chiyamas, when it's going to die. So this is a unique stage, according to Chizkiah, where it's not even minachai, but it's not yet Tumah as Nevelah, because it's not yet dead. Now, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to explain this machlekes. Shachet by shnayim or reiv shnayim v'adayin him refacheses. It says regarding the non-kosher animal, if they slaughter both pipes or the majority of both pipes, but it's still in the throes of death, so chizkam ein levam. He says there's no problem of evam nachai. Rabbi Yechon Amar Yesh levam says yes, there is a problem of evam nachai. It's still alive. Now, Amr Belazi says, Nekait lahadr b'yechanan b'yatchi. He says, you should grab on to paskin d'alacha, like this opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, that is still considered like alive, and therefore a problem of Ibn Achai. Because the Tanya of Eishik Havasei, because Rabbi Yisha taught a brisa, like Rabbi Yechanan, that says clearly that it's forbidden for a ben noyech when it's in this state, where, because he considers like Ibn Achai. Because the Tanya of Eishik taught the following brisa. Yisrael shashachet behemet tmei lev gachav. In this case, a Jew slaughters a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. Shachet b'shnayim oyreif shnayim umefarcheses. If he slaughtered both pipes, or the majority of both pipes, and it's still in the throes of death, which again, this is a unique case where slaughtering is being done by a Jew, but it's, so therefore, generally slaughtering would go ahead and make it not alive anymore, but we're talking about non-kosher animal. So, says Rabbi Yishya, so mitama tumas eichlin, where if this animal now touches a sheretz, and then subsequently touches other food items before it dies when it's in the throes of death. So this was the halacha we were saying all along, that since for a Jew is doing it in a bona fide slaughtering, and he had in mind that it should be eaten by a non-Jew, so like we explained, so it's already considered like an eichel, at least in this context of being mekabel tumas eichel, like we said in the halacha of our Mishnah. Avol lo tumas nevelah, but again, it's not going to tumas nevelah, because it's not yet dead. Dead is only when it's actually expired. In the throes of death, it's not dead, so it's not going to have tumas nevelah. Now, eva ha-parish mimena, a limb that's, and this is the important feature over here, the eva ha-parish mimena, the limb that gets separated from it, ka-parish min ha-chai, it's like separated from a living creature, and therefore it's going to contaminate right away, like a limb from a nevela, because we said on Daf Kof Ches Mabez, that a limb from a living creature already has the tumma as a nevela. Now, o bas ha-parish mimena, and however, if let's say it's not a limb, but just flesh got separated from this animal in the throes of death, it's kabasa parish menachai. It's like flesh that got separated from a living creature, meaning to say, there's no tumma, because flesh that got separated from a living creature is tar. It's only a full limb that's going to have a tumma nevela. So for what concept are we saying that it's like separated from a living creature? Is just to say that it's going to be prohibited for a ben noach to eat it, and it's going to be problematic even after it ultimately dies, because since it was cut off from when it was still alive, so that's going to always have that designation, that title as Ibn Achayim, forbidden for Ben Noach. Now that's like Rabbi Yechanan, where, what do you mean? You think it's considered already Tumas Eichlim, and therefore it's like it's not alive anymore because it's a food item, but still that's Rabbi Yechanan said in his disagreement with Chizkiah, that when it's in the throes of death, even though it was had a shechita by Yisrael and we consider like Tumas Eichlin, but it's still considered alive and it's going to have a lacha of Ibn Achai and going to be forbidden for a non-Jew to eat it even after it ultimately dies. Now, once we introduce the Braisa, the Gemara continues quoting the Braisa. Shachet ba'echad ayroiv echad. Let's say he only slaughtered one pipe or the majority of one pipe. So then, then it's not even going to convey or contract the Tumah of food items, because that we don't find ever being considered as a slaughterer that even in that type should have any permissibility, not for a Jew or a non-Jew. So we can't consider like the stringency of at least considering like a food item to have tumas eichel. And so too, if let's say nechara, let's say it wasn't any slaughtering, just rather tearing out of the pipes, and it's still in the throes of death, se'im b'tumas shalklum, so then it doesn't have any tumah whatsoever. It's not nevelia because it didn't die, and it doesn't even have tumas eichel because it wasn't even like a slaughtering to be considering it like on some level, like it's a food item, which normally is what it would be if it was a slaughtering with Jew and the kosher animal. This wouldn't have that designation because it wasn't even slaughtering, and therefore it has no tumah whatsoever yet until it dies. Now, so to va'ayva kachab m'shashachet behem entirely yisrom afachesis, and this was the brisa we were alluding to earlier, that it's the same thing as the case of the flip, where we were saying a Jew slaughtering a non-kosher animal, which has this unique middle stage of like, it'll have tumas eichlin, even though it's not really permitting it to be eaten for a Jew. And then there's also a non-Jew slaughtering a kosher animal for a Jew, which again, is not permitting to be eaten, but it's still a kosher animal and it's for a Jew. Umefaches is an animal still in the throes of death. So here too, tumeh tumas eichlin, it will already have the halacha being able to have the tumah of food items, because since there is that concept similarly of having permissibility of eating had it been slaughtered by a Jew, so now also it's going to help that when the non-Jew slaughtering and he had in mind for a Jew to eat it, that'll at least designate it as a food item, so it could have tumas eichlin. Avolay tumas nevela, but again won't have the tumah nevela because it's not dead yet and it's still in the throes of death. And in this case, so to eva parish mimenik parish menachai, a limb that's separated from it, it's like from a living creature, because like we said, it's still considered alive. And flesh that's separated from, like, separated from a living creature, which again is not for tumah, but it's going to be forbidden for a non-Jew to eat it. Again, this is the same idea like Rabbi Yechanan, and even after it's sold the parts. Here also, shachad ba'echad ayroiv echad, if only one pipe is slaughtered, or the majority of one pipe, in the tumah tumas eichlin, then there's no tumah eichlin whatsoever, because there's no significance at all as, or any semblance of like slaughtering, because it needs two pipes, or the majority of two pipes to be considered shechita. And so to nachara, if the pipes are torn out, ima tumah shoklum, there's no tumah whatsoever. Again, this is the same halacha as the previous one, just instead of the Jew for the non-kosher animal, it's the non-Jew for the kosher animal. Continues the braisa. So we talk about the two cases now of a Jew slaughtering or the non-Jew slaughtering and the significance of this. If a non-Jew slaughters in a place where it wouldn't be considered a treifa from what he had done in the slaughtering. For example, let's say he cut half of the kana, half of the trachea, where an animal is not considered a treifa, a moral defect. If let's say that happens, the animal is still considered viable. And then the Jew comes and he concludes that slaughtering. So ksher, that's a kosher animal. Because this, obviously, a non-Jew can't slaughter, but it's like just getting an injury, and that's not considered a fatal injury. Now, let's say the opposite, shachad Yisrael, let's say the Jew slaughters. Now, if he slaughters in a place that would make it a treifa or not, meaning whether he did a lot or a little, but then the non-Jew comes and he concludes the slaughtering, so since it was concluded by a non-Jew, so psula, that's going to be a treifa, it's not going to be a valid slaughtering. Now, continues the braisa. If someone wants to eat from an animal, and this is similarly related to the concept that the Brayser was talking about regarding mefarcheses, when it's in the throes of death, it was slaughtered but not totally dead. So a similar halacha, the Brayser says, if someone wants to eat from an animal before it's sold the parts, so what he should do is, he should cut an olive size of flesh from the place where it's slaughtered, where there you don't have to skin it because it's already revealed over there because it was slaughtered over there. And then he salts it very well and he washed it very well, more than other meat from an animal, because it didn't get a chance to really get out all the blood from that area, because when that piece of meat is cut out, the blood gets absorbed inside the meat, because an animal, when its soul is departing, then it's groaning and moaning, and that's when it actually spurts out its blood. But here, since the person cut it out right away, the blood is very much stuck into that meat, so you have to salt it and wash it very well. But then umamtin lachatetz nafsho, although he cut it out before the animal died, but he should wait until the soul departs, as the Braisa teaches in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel Min Aleph, that how do we know that someone who eats from an animal before its soul departs, even after it was slaughtered, but that it's a negative violation? But like it says, le'seich la'adam, don't eat when the blood is still being, when the blood's still there by the animal, but that's only an illusion, but rabbinically, it's prohibited. So you should wait until the animal actually expires, and then ma'ichle, then you should eat that piece of meat. And this applies, echad evikachav, mechad yisal matarn, by, this is something that's permitted both for Jew and non-Jew to do, meaning, really, for a non-Jew, that should be problematic, because in the throes of death, we said, that's really for a non-Jew, even menachai. But that's what the Bryce is saying, since that's permitted for a Jew to do, so therefore automatically it's permitted for a non-Jew, because the halacha is that there's nothing that's permitted for a Jew, and that's going to be prohibited for a non-Jew. Now, however, in contrast, regarding the previous cases of the Bryce, let's say the slaughtering of a non-kosher animal, or when a non-Jew slaughtered a kosher animal, there's no permissibility for a Jew, because it's not either a non-kosher animal or slaughtered by a non-Jew. So therefore, it is going to be prohibited for the non-Jew, because like we said, it's considered chai, it's going to be even a chai. But here, since it was slaughtered by a kosher animal, it's permitted for a Jew, so it's going to be also permitted for a non-Jew. Now says the Gemara, Masayel el Rav Yidbar Oven, this last halacha of the Braisa supports Rav Yidbar Oven, that we said that it's even permitted for a non-Jew. Where the Amar Rav Yidbar Oven, Amar Bitzchah Bar Yishin, he says the same halacha, he says, a reitzah shayavri, if someone wants to become healthy, and this meat is good for therapeutic reasons, chaytich kezayis basa mebe shchitesha, cut an olive size of the animal from where it's slaughtered, then he salts it very well and he washed it very well. And he waits until it expires. And he says this is permitted both for Jew and non-Jew, like we said, because since it's permitted for a Jew, so although for a non-Jew really it's even the chai, but it's automatically going to be permitted just like it's permitted for the Jew. Now, Bayer Belazer, Belazer asks, that's what we learned in the previous braisa regarding when a Jew slaughtering by the non-kosher animal or the non-Jew slaughtering by the kosher animal, which we said that the reason why we're making it into a food item is because it's not really slaughtering the permits, because again, it's either non-kosher or by a non-Jew. But it was an act of slaughtering that was done to it. So that act, which generally will make something into food items, here in stringently it's going to make into food item to mekabel tumas ha'ichlin, as we find, because if let's say the chira was done with it, if the pipes were just torn out, then we said that's not going to make it susceptible to tumas ha'ichlin. So he asked, how far do we go with this that it's like resembles the act of slaughtering? Let's say shaba. There are certain halachal mesh mesinas that invalidate a shechita, although a regular shechita was done. Let's say there was a delay in the slaughter. Or darisbo, let's say it was pressed down too hard. Ma, what's the halacha if let's say that was done over here? Would we say, okay, that's not slaughtering, and therefore that's like nechira, and therefore it's not going to have the tumah v'eichlin? Or would we say that's not a problem, because ultimately a slaughtering was done? So that an elder told them that Hachim Ibrichan said, it has to be prepared in an appropriate slaughtering, like it's done with a kosher animal. Meaning, as if you're coming to permit it to be eaten by a kosher animal, that's how it qualifies for having the Tumas Vaichlin, let's say, when it's done in a non kosher animal. And therefore, it's not going to have the Tumas Vaichlin because it wasn't a kosher slaughtering because you delayed or you pressed down too hard. So that is the Gemara and the terminology that Ibrichan said, Hechshu Lamai. What halacha was he so precise when he said has to have the hechsher of a shechita of a kosher animal? What is he coming to signify? So Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak, bedikas sakin. It even needs the knife to be checked beforehand. Like one goes to do a proper slaughtering, you have to check the knife. That's how far you have to do when you're slaughtering the non-kosher animal for the non-Jew. For it to be susceptible to tumas ha'ichlin, has to be like a bona fide shechita as if one that's done for a kosher animal. Now, moreover, the Gemara asks on this topic, b'yimenei Rav Zeir m'Rav Sheshes, says that regarding this idea of a Jew by the non-kosher animal or a non-Jew by kosher animal, this animal, when it's in the throes of death, and this animal had swallowed a vessel when it was still alive, and now this animal in the throes of death is in a oil in a house that has a dead person in over there. His question is, Mao shetatzel ala balun shebetecha, what's the halacha? Will this animal protect those vessels, those utensils that are absorbed inside that animal? Because we had said in the Gemara, in the Aleph and Beis, that if an animal swallows a pure ring and then goes into an oil hames, so we said that that ring, that vessel that's inside the animal will not become tameh, because that's called blua, it's absorbed, it's not coming in contact with the tum on the outside. So his question was, over here, what are you going to say? Are you going to say that since we're saying that this animal in the throes of death does not yet have tumah of nevelo, so therefore we consider the animal as alive, and therefore it will protect the vessels that are inside of it? Or maybe then no, since as we're introducing the halacha of our Mishnah, that it will have the tumah of eichlin, of food items, so therefore that's only like we, obviously it's dead, because if it's alive, an animal, a live animal cannot have tumas of eichlin. So therefore it's not going to protect, and therefore, because it's not absorbed in a living creature, it's in a dead thing, then it's not considered tumma that's blua. Now, by a Jew in a kosher animal, that we obviously wouldn't have a question, because for sure there it's not going to protect, because there it's even permitted to be eaten, where obviously we consider it as not alive anymore. And so to the other way, a non-Jew who's slaughtered by a non-kosher animal, obviously there it will protect, because like there we said, it doesn't have any tumma whatsoever, so therefore we consider it as alive. But in this middle case, which is the halacha of our Mishnah, where this case of the Yisrael that shechted a tumeya animal, where it's going to have tumas of Michael but not tumah of nevela, so on some level it's alive, some level it's dead. So what's the gemiyah halacha? Is it alive or is it dead in regards to protecting the vessels that are inside of it? So Amalei, so he said to him, mitama tumas tzaychlin. Wait a second. It's gonna have the tumah of food items, like we said in the Mishnah, as we were saying this halacha all along. So obviously it's dead, umatzelis, and you want to say it should protect on the vessels that inside. How can it protect? It's considered dead. But that Amalei said back to him, what do you mean? Ein mitama tumas nevelis. It does not have the tumah yet of a nevela. So obviously it's still alive. V'loy tzaychlin, shouldn't save. So each one is saying the other side of the logic. So Amabai, he says, and he concludes as follows. He says, it's not going to protect for any utensil that's absorbed inside of it if this animal that's in the throes of death is in the house of a mess, because ultimately he says we have to go stringently, and ultimately it is considered like dead, as we find that it does have the tumah of food items, we consider it like a food item already. However, we go stringently the other way too, if a person would sodomize this animal, he would be liable if he does it deliberately for death, and if he does it by mistake, because ultimately we have the stringency the other way, because ultimately it's not yet dead, and as we find, it's not Tumas Nevela. So the Rabbi says, in the stringent way, we have to go either way stringently, that is for, stringently we'll say that it's alive, and stringently we say that it's dead, both regarding the tuma of that's Balu inside of it, and also regarding if engaging in bestiality with the animal, that for that we will consider alive, and the person would be chayv.